tuatai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, it's time for my favourite segment of the week. It is time for the Scorpio Books Spotlight. And you were very eager this morning. You were here nice and early.
Yeah. Well, it's better than being late.
It is. I appreciate you being here early. And you're also the most reliable as well.
No, don't slander everyone else. That's not fair. You don't get to do that.
No, that's right. That's right. I don't. And they all turn up every week. And it's appreciated. What are we spotlighting today?
So, I'm very excited about this one. It's very good. It's called The Cautious Traveller's Guide to the Wastelands by Sarah Brooks. I read this book once, and then I read it again, and then while I was reading it again, I left it at my parents', which is 45 minutes out of town.
Oh no.
Sent my brother a very panicked message going, are you coming into town at all? And so, shout out to my brother, drove it all the way back into town to drop it off to me.
It should also be mentioned, you're rereading this, yes. But it hasn't even been out that long.
No, it's been out for about 2 weeks. I read it once and then picked it up again.
Wow.
It's worth it. It's really good. It's sort of like a mix of The Night Circus and The Polar Express. It's set at the end of the 19th century and takes place almost entirely on a train as it travels through the wastelands, which is an enormous kind of supernatural stretch of uninhabited wilderness between Beijing and Moscow. The train is marketed as the best that money can buy, but that doesn't really mean it's invincible. Strange things happen on the wastelands, and after a disastrous last crossing, the company in charge of the Trans-Siberian Express is desperate to save face. This book encompasses a lot of genres in its sort of short length. It pays tribute to gothic, steampunk fantasy, historical fiction, and it's also got a little bit of Agatha Christie in there.
There's
a really strong sense of suspense as you're travelling through the wastelands because the crew of the train know that the landscape has turned hostile and sour and they can sense that there's danger at every turn. Alongside the tension, there's a lot of time spent exploring the passengers on the train. There's the rich and opulent first class passengers who have sort of deluded themselves into thinking that, you know, they can pay their way to safety. Everything will be fine if they throw enough money at it.
Yeah, right.
But there's also the crew who can sense the changes that the journey will bring. And there's also an unknown stowaway who's snuck her way on board.
Oh, we love that.
The story flicks between three different perspectives. There's two first class travellers who are each desperate to glean more knowledge from the sort of enigmatic and mysterious company. And they both have different motives. There's Henry Gray, who is a disgraced scientist, and he is desperate to make a discovery because he feels like he deserves recognition.
Right.
And then there is Maria, who is a young woman with a fake name who is travelling alone.
Oh.
She's very observant and secretive, and she sort of wants to find the hidden reason behind a death that resulted from the last crossing. Yeah, so she's like, she is kind of like a spy, but not really. She's just very much like hiding the fact that she is who she really is.
Okay.
And then the final character, who is the one who I would like argue is most like a protagonist, is a young woman named Weiwei. She was born and raised on the train, and she has a really special kinship with it.
Born and raised on the train.
Yeah, so okay. There's like this whole thing where basically her mother lied and then gave birth on the train and then died on the train. And so she has been like raised there her entire life. And
oh
so
my
she
gosh.
Has this really like innate sense of when things work as they should and
yes,
when things are really wrong.
Right, interesting.
Yeah. With such fun characters to serve as our eyes, it'd be a bit of a letdown if the setting wasn't interesting to match. The book won't let you down. Fear not. Despite the story taking place almost entirely on the train, the environment never feels like it grows stale. The landscape outside the windows changes every day, and there's so many hidden spaces to explore on board. It's sort of simultaneously larger than life and like claustrophobic. You feel like a little bit insignificant as the oppressive Siberian wilderness creeps in on the story. which right. sort of works to contrast the image of the company that we are built up to have of like, oh, yeah. it's fine, you know, everything's fine. And then you're sort of like learning all of these little secrets that they've sort of hidden away to save face. And you're like, it's not fine. We might be in a little bit of trouble here. It does lean more towards fantasy rather than historical fiction, but there is a huge amount of character-driven story here as well. Since the characters are made to spend the entirety of the narrative in close quarters, they turn into a little bit of a microcosm of society that they're used to. We see them try to ramp up normalcy even as the dangers grow, and like they can sort of, if they save face, everything will be fine for just a little
yeah,
bit longer.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Which, we all do it, don't yeah. we? Yeah.
Which sort of all comes to head at the thundering conclusion where all of the social norms are shattered and any delusions of safety are stripped away, which sort of leaves them vulnerable and afraid before swelling up into a gorgeous finale.
Oh, my God. Because I was going to ask, is like the ending satisfying?
Yes. So there's like...
An emphatic,
There's this whole thing where... Oh my, I'm so glad I read this a second time. there are so many little details and character quirks which are established sort of in the first time that you meet characters or like throughout the first couple chapters, which when you read it on a second time, you realize that they're foreshadowing. And it's like, it's so much work put into all of this careful characterization.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it.
Because even though a lot of the cast fit sort of caricatures and tropes, there are a few times where they sort of break the rigid mold that seems to define them, or a much more fun option is where we sort of slowly watch them degrade over time until they turn into something completely new.
Okay, lovely.
Alongside all of this, like, story, the prose itself is gorgeous. It's very poetic and lyrical without being exhausting or difficult to read. I'm not really a poetry person. I don't get it. But this one had like bits where I kind of
get
the vibe.
It's, okay, interesting.
It feels very experimental and unconventional, which does make sense when you bear in mind that this is a debut novel. This is this author's first book.
Okay.
And hit the nail on the head. It does sometimes seem to follow a sort of dream logic, focusing on small details that feel insignificant, but they sort of hold a world of importance as they represent the larger picture. While the story starts a little bit slow, it quickly picks up the pace, ramping up the tension until I thought my heart would burst. Finished it in 3 days the first time I read it.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a point to hit home that this is a good book, that's it, really.
Yeah, I genuinely couldn't bear to wait. I was at work on Saturday, God. And I was like, I just want to keep reading my book. I need to find out what happens.
Wow.
And it's got such a feel of show don't tell, because Brooks holds her cards so close to her chest until the last moment where she reveals it all with a flourish that leaves you seeing everything you've read now in such a new light. It's such a sort of unique and gleeful story. While it has a touch of horror hidden by the plush interior of the train, the story itself is a glorious mix of steampunk and fantasy and thriller. Brooks has taken all of the best parts of these fabulous genres before blending them into one majestic final product. It's really hard to compare it to anything. The only thing that would come close is, like we were talking about before, The Night Circus, or maybe The Dark Materials, which were Philip Pullman.
Yeah.
But it establishes so much in a single cohesive narrative that it feels a little bit disingenuous to let it be anything other than its own thing.
Yeah, wow.
But what I can say is that if you're a fan of any of these genres, don't hesitate to give The Cautious Traveler's Guide to the Wastelands a try. You won't be disappointed. It's really good.
Oh, you have sold me.
It's so good.
And, what is it about a story based on a train? Something hits home.
The really wild thing is that while I was reading this, I stumbled upon a video breaking down the use of tropes set on trains and how they actually, turn into this perfect little setting for all of these different tropes. And it's really quite surprising because there's no huge climactic fight scene on this. We're going to be, fighting on the roof or anything. It's not that kind of a story, but there are a few bits where I was reading this with that bearing that in mind. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of see that connecting to this, but it is sort of still its own thing.
Wow.
It still manages to be quite unique.
Oh, I'm so sold on this.
It's so good.
Smash it out of the park for a debut novel.
I know, yeah. No, that was the thing. Like, I read it and I was like, oh, what other things has this person written? And I was like, wait, there's nothing else. Nothing else is coming up on Google. She's got nothing written in the back of this. This is her first book.
Yeah, holy moly. That's wicked. Oh, my God. Well done, Sarah.
Well done, Sarah. You nailed it.
Yeah, and so I assume this book is in at Scorpio.
It's in stock now. I've just got the advanced reading copy, but the real one has all this gorgeous gold detailing on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Just all these lovely, lovely colours.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, the Cautious Traveller's Guide to the Wastelands today, the pick for Scorpio Book Spotlight. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have a busy day ahead?
I might do. It's the beginning of my week, so, you know, we're just going to ease into it and see what happens.
All right. Well, good luck with all that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Try not to drown.
Yeah, stay warm out. Well, dry. You're not going to be warm, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. To our audience, Scorpio Books at the BNZ Centre. Go there, buy some stuff.